Our guests for the full hour have sold over 3 million records since 1989, and they do admit that they were unplugged before it was cool. Their sixth epic record is called Swamp Ophelia, and doing very well, thank you. The new record features Lisa Germano, The Roaches, and Jane Sibri. They've been nominated for several Grammys and won the Best for Best Contemporary Folk Album in 1989. And if that weren't enough, they'll soon be seen in the new Whoopi Goldberg movie, Boys on the Side. Modern Rock Live presents Amy and Emily, the Indigo Girls. Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for coming.
Hey.
Appreciate
You're
it. Before we get on to the album, I actually want to talk about the movie with Whoopi. How did that come about?
Well, they sent us a script. I think they were the man in charge of gathering the musicians and the music for the movie was a sort of a mutual friend and a fan, and sent us a script, and we read it, and we really loved it, and just sort of entered into the project, and it grew as we talked about it, and we ended up doing 5 or 6 songs, and we're sort of a house band at a bar that Whoopi and her friends end up at in the Southwest, and we have to act. It's just the Indigo Girls as themselves.
How long did it take to actually cut? Because doing movies obviously take a lot more than actually recording a record sometimes. I mean, how many takes did it take, or did it take a couple of days to do it? Or?
No, we did a week in L.A. and then a week in Phoenix. So, but the days were long. We had to get up much earlier than we're accustomed to.
Did you have your own trailer?
Yeah, we had our own trailer.
Wow, that's great.
Cool. Yeah.
Just kind of knock on the trailer when you're ready to come out. You know,
yeah.
did you make them wait a little bit?
No.
Oh, see, you got to take advantage of that.
We were babies on that set.
What song did you do in the movie? Was it a new song? Or
we did Joking and Galileo and Southland in the Springtime and Power of Two and something else, Closer to Fine.
Can't remember the other one.
Do you know which one they're going to use in the movie?
Well, we're kind of like the bar band, so they'll like cut in on different ones.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really like a... like one whole song. They'll use different snippets, I think.
Right. Let's talk about the new album that's out, particularly At Least Complicated. The song's great. The video's even cooler. Who did the video to that song?
Mark Fenske.
Incredible video. I mean,
it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
He directed Galileo also.
Yeah, the song is great. You want to talk about the writing process for that particular song?
I was sitting 2 stories above the street when I wrote that song. That's how it starts. And it's just... I had fun writing that song, kind of poking fun at myself, repeating patterns of my life. It's supposed to just play on what's complicated and what's uncomplicated, just starting with your little lessons from your school years and then building on up into your adult life, and how it seems like it could be so easy and you could just stick a formula in and follow it and have your life go in a straight path, but, you know, to no avail.
So
I was just writing about that.
Well, let's listen to it right now. This is Least Complicated, the Indigo Girls on Modern Rock Live. And we're back. This is Modern Rock Live. I'm Tom Calderone, and joining me tonight here in Hollywood, the Indigo Girls. If you got a question, you can give us a call at 1-800-223-ROCK. And if you get on the air with Amy and Emily, we'll send you an autographed copy of their latest CD, Swamp Ophelia, courtesy of the fine folks at Epic Records. Regina is up first on 92.7 WDRE on Long Island. Hi, Regina.
Hi.
Hi, you
Hi,
have
guys.
A question?
Good.
Hi.
Hey.
I was just wondering, I know that Swamp Ophelia is a line from Touch Me Fall. I was just wondering what it does it mean and where did it come from and why you chose it as your album title.
Well, it came from, in the song, it came from, I was taking a walk through this nature preserve and they had names on the different plants and one of them was called Swamp Ophelia, although I think it was just a nickname because we couldn't find it afterwards. But I just like the image for that song of the sort of beautiful, fragile things mixed with the dark, sort of dark, swampy things, I guess. And I don't know why we came up with it. We felt like it reflected the album, I guess.
Yeah, because a lot of the songs are so different from the others, different from each other. So we thought that would be a good name to represent that.
Yeah.
Good question, Regina. We go now to Chicago and Raj on Q101. Hi, Raj.
Good evening, ladies.
Hey.
My question has to do with how has your songwriting and musical ability changed since your early songs like Crazy Game up until today's songs?
Well, for me, this is Emily. Crazy Game is actually a reflection of this earlier period of influence on my music, which was more jazzy. And I left that behind. And then I think just lyrically, my songs were a lot more... bleeding heart, emotionally, overboard in a lot of ways. I think over time I've tempered my language, and that's a good thing. Musically, I feel as free now to experiment musically with chord progression or whatever as I ever have. So I'm looking forward to writing more songs in the future, working on that.
There's an article, Amy, where you said Emily's songs are about relationships with other people and your songs are about relationships with yourself. Is that still hold true today? Or?
I think what I meant in that was really recent. I think what I meant was that Emily had written very recently a lot of songs about interpersonal relationships between people. And my songs on this record tended to be very, sort of delve into my own ambivalence about things, you know, not like in a self-involved way, but I'm talking about things that are outside of myself, but they're not relationships to other people necessarily.
Okay. We talked to Georgia on 106.5 WVGO in Richmond, Virginia. Hi, Georgia.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're fine.
Good. Hey, I wanted to ask you guys, how did you hook up? And when you realized or came upon your harmonies together, was it natural or was it something you had to work on?
Well, we hooked up. We've known each other since elementary school, and then we went to the same high school. And so we hooked up because Amy joined the chorus, and we became friends. So we were both in the chorus together. And we just started playing guitar together for fun, and one thing led to another. We started playing out in clubs and so on. So, and as far as the harmonies go, they were always easy for us from the very beginning. We were, back in those days, learning all cover songs. So we just picked our favorite cover songs, and then we'd add a harmony parts to them, and we felt that we harmonized well together from the beginning.
What was the first cover song? Do you remember?
Junkie's Lament.
That's right, James Taylor, old song.
And that's when you knew.
No, we didn't know anything.
I mean, we didn't like sing and go, oh my God, we're the greatest harmonizers in the world. We just sort of, we had a good time at it, you know.
Do you remember the chorus, and when you were in chorus together, what the songs you sang in chorus? Do you like 50 Nifty United States, those songs?
Yeah, some songs like that. Were you in alto? I was in alto.
I was in alto,
and
too.
I was in alto, too. But I don't remember any of the music. But we took a lot of the style of sacred music, actually, and that style of answer call, gospel type thing, into what we do as far as the circular harmonies and melodies and stuff.
That's what you hear today. We travel down to Memphis, Tennessee. 96X is the station, and Maggie's on the phone with us. Hi, Maggie.
Hi. Hi, guys.
Hey, Maggie.
Hey, Maggie.
I was wondering, you said something about jazz and choir and stuff like that. Were you classically trained, and if so, what kind of value does that have on the training? What kind of value does training have on the type of music you make?
Well, I took classical guitar lessons for a year when I was 12 years old. And then I stopped taking it. I did it for my dad, really. But I have no regrets, because it was really good for my technique. And, you know, you can always benefit from working your hands in that way. It was very difficult, actually. It took a lot of practice and discipline.
It's not necessary, though.
Not necessary.
It helps to do some kind of training, but it's not necessary.
Well, let's see if that training paid off. Can you guys play a song for us live right now?
Yeah, maybe.
So we gotta take our headphones off.
All right, this is, they're gonna do for us right now, Power of Two, exclusively on this fine program we call, as I stretch, Modern Rock Life.
All right, stretch on.